pardon, and if that all goes through correctly, do I then submit another?
You would have to submit an application to the town in which you live.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Case number four, right? Yes. 22-662. Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Deputy Chief Roberto Rinaldi, Rinaldi, R-I-N-A-L-D-I, Seymour Police Department.
Deputy Chief, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, the appellant was denied the pistol permit based on protective order that was issued back in 2020. It was within the 5 years of the section. The part where it says within the past 5 years. So the chief at the time, Chief Paul Sackowski, who has since retired, denied the permit based on that, and also based on his arrest for risk of injury. Incident involved a handgun, which was has since been nollied or dismissed. I believe it was nollied.
Great. Thank you, Deputy Chief. Just a housekeeping matter, this new thing is on this.
Yeah, he had sent in some letters that I had to have approved by Seymour before we distributed them, so yes. It just
and you, you approved
character letters.
All right, so we're adding character letters.
You said you don't have them? Did you?
No, I said I don't have the issue.
Oh, great. No issue.
All right, so the 12-7 letter and 12-13 character letters are added to the record. Okay, Mr. Appellant, would you like to make an opening statement?
My wife and I were in a tough time, when I got the arrest was made. There was a lot of alcohol use, and it was just a bad decision. And I regret, having done any of this. And I've since tried to make everything right since the day I was arrested, so.
Okay. Do you currently live in Seymour?
Correct.
All right, Deputy Chief, you may proceed with your case.
Okay, based on the denial from Chief Sackowski at the time, based on the domestic violence arrest involved a handgun and the risk of injury charge and the children involved. If you look at our form here, this is a brief synopsis of what happened. And then the full protective order was issued by the state. And it is within the five-year term here. So that's why he denied it, basically.
What we would like from you is to present the case. Tell us what the event was, what happened, the protective order. Now, a protective order is not in effect at this moment, right?
No, sir. Okay. It was...
Was it in effect when he applied?
No.
But it was within the 5 years.
It's within the 5 years.
And he disclosed it?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. Yes, he's disclosed it on his application. Again, it was 2020 when the protective order was issued, when the arrest was made. Again, the arrest involved an incident, I believe, with his wife. A gun was involved, was present. I guess children were present, too. The officer made the arrest for risk, disorderly, and failure to store a firearm, loaded firearm. And basically, that's why the chief denied it at that time, was because when he applied, was it within the 5 year period of the protective order that it was issued? And plus, with the arrest, it was a domestic and it involved a gun and children.
Do you have any details of the incident that you can share with us? Reading, the little report here, it talks about someone being punched, where the gun was.
So again, and this is have to be from memory, not from a report, since
that's why
report
said
has
with
been
us.
That report that the case has been dismissed.
Yes, the case was dismissed.
Yep, so.
So you have no personal recollection?
I wasn't present there when it happened, so I really don't know much other than that I was there present with Chief Sakowski at the time, and that was the reason why he denied it. He read the report, and again, he was concerned about the involvement with a gun. I recall that. Then the children, and then he based it on the 5-year protective order.
I'm confused regarding the 5-year protective order.
Yeah, if you look on the application on page 3, I believe I gave you guys a copy.
It just says that he has to disclose it if he's had one within 5 years.
There's no automatic disqualifier if there's been a, there's an automatic disqualifier if there's a protective order in place. But if he had a protective order within, if it was no longer in place, there's no automatic disqualifier. The 5 years just means he has to disclose it.
Okay.
So if that protective order had expired, you know, let's say it was 3 years prior, it's not an automatic disqualifier. That's why.
However, what it would do is give you, even if you don't have a copy of the case that you can use, it does give you the opportunity to call the appellant in or ask him today about the case, because the protective order is not erased with the arrest reports. The protective order remains in the registry. Yeah. So you clearly know the charges. You know there was a protective order, and then you can investigate from there, either before here or even today.
But what I recall, again, it was a couple years ago, he was concerned about the weapon charges and the risk charge, too, at that time. That's all I can say right now. You know, due to the fact that there were children present, and
did anyone interview
it was loaded? The gun was loaded also.
Did anyone interview the appellant about this case for the pistol permit application?
I don't recall. I don't think so.
Okay.
Could I, just as a point of clarification, could we confirm the start and end dates of the protective order and the date of the application for the record?
I think I have the protective order there. Can you give me a second, please?
Sure.
So it looks like on January 28th of 2020, we received a letter from the state that his permit was revoked. So it was within that time frame that the protective order was issued. I don't know when the case was nollied. So in that period, it had to be 2021 where the protective order must have been.
Well, you provided us a document that said the order expired July 16th of 2020.
Yeah, so the protective order would have, if it was still in effect, it would have had to have been.
Okay, that's my apology then.
That's okay. Yeah. Sir, do you know how long the protective order was in place?
Am I allowed to speak?
You may.
So he was out of the house for 6 weeks.
Okay.
The state issued an automatic protection order because there was a domestic dispute between the two of us. Our children were in the home sleeping at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a loaded firearm in the nightstand of the home. When the officer came to the house for the domestic, as soon as he came in, he asked if there were firearms.
Yep.
We said yes.
We're going to get to it.
Okay.
But the protective order.
So the protective order was about 6 weeks. Yeah, he was out in from the date of the arrest, and he came home luckily right before COVID hit and everything locked down. So I want to say it was mid-January to mid-February. Or early March or late February.
In 2020.
Okay, so
in 2020.
In 2020.
And then the application
was later, the case for him was nollied, I believe, in June or July of 2020. At that time, when it was nollied, he was told he could take the class again.
Excuse me, do you not know this information? No, because you are the appellant, and,
yeah,
and we'll get to that.
You can speak.
I just really wanted to focus on the protective order, because that's what we were talking about. And it's not, you're going to have a chance to go, too.
No, so right.
We wanted to get to the issuing authorities side first.
So did we establish?
No.
From what I can tell, it looks like the arrest was in July of January 2020.
Yeah.
From documents provided from Seymour, the order expired July 16th of 2020. It may have been a modification.
Okay.
It's about the time that I believe that's when the charges were nollied and subsequently dismissed. And then the appellant applied October 22nd of 21, which would be about 15 months after the expiration of the order. Does that answer your question?
That's what we need.
Okay, thank you.
I thought that was a quick way to get there, but we did get there.
Sorry.
All right. All right, so we're still with the deputy chief.
Yep.
Were there more questions? I feel like we were questioning him.
I thought I had a copy of it in here.
I think it's okay, because no matter what, if the nollie entered on July 15th, whether the protective order was modified in between January and July, it was no longer active as of July 15th, 2020. So
it's not an automatic disqualifier.
No, because he applied 15 months later.
Okay.
And it was acknowledged on the application.
Yeah.
Which is rare, so yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are noting that.
Yeah.
All right, is there anything else, Deputy Chief?
So again, basically, that was a concern, the protective order, and then that's, you know, and then based on the incident itself, even though the charges were nollied, she still felt it was a serious incident that occurred, and especially with the weapon and the children involved.
So it was a suitability decision?
Suitability issue, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
does the board, I'm sorry, sir, do you have any questions of the deputy chief?
Not at this time.
Does the board have any questions?
Yes, just to clarify, has there been any other contact between the appellant and the Seymour Police Department since?
I did do a background check before I came here. There were a couple of incidences, but nothing. He was a witness to one incident, and the second one was a complaint on something. But nothing involving any kind of thing.
No major incidents that would be of concern to you?
Nothing like that. No.
Okay, thank you.
Other than a witness and a complaint and something.
Other questions? Seeing none, I assume you have no other witnesses since there's not a big crowd here today. Okay, sir, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
So, you know, after the arrest in 2020, I've done a lot of soul searching, and I realized that, you know, what had happened, I solely take it responsibility for it. There were a lot of bad choices that were made, and I apologize, I'm very nervous, so.
Most people are.
And again, as far as the storing of weapons, I wholeheartedly knew better, and, it's a financial situation. Led me to not purchase a safe, which I have since purchased a safe, even though I don't have firearms. I'm more cognizant of my behaviors, and I've been trying to, curtail any bad behaviors. You know, at the time I was in the middle of nursing school, so it was a very high stress time, and just made poor choices. It was one day of poor choices that led to all this. So, I'm trying to make up for the stuff that I've done wrong. My wife and I are still together. It was a night of indecision, bad decision, and, we have gone through couples counseling. The court had me go through an IOP, which I had completed and actually got discharged from early. I just I'm trying to stay away from bad behaviors, which I generally have done throughout my whole life, so that's pretty much it.
Was the IOP for alcohol?
Yeah.
Deputy Chief, do you have questions for the appellant?
No.
Does the board have, Chief?
All right. We've glossed over this whole domestic thing.
Yep.
Let's talk about it. Tell me what happened that night.
So, there was, say this.
There just, was, you know what? If you start thinking, geez, I don't know how to say this, I'm going to edit it, I'm going to cut some things out, it's going to look like you're not being truthful, just lay it out there.
Yeah,
it's the only
yeah. Part. So there was some question of infidelity in the relationship and on my part. And, you know, through use of alcohol, it came to a head. We had an argument. She called one of her friends.
When you say we had an argument, you mean you and your wife?
My wife, okay, that's right. So she had called a friend to speak with her, and then she had come over to the house, and she thought she heard a loud noise, so she called the police, and that's how the arrest was made.
Okay. That's not quite clear. You left out a whole bunch. What was the, did you have an argument with your wife? Did
yes.
you have a physical argument with your wife?
So, you know, unfortunately that night I had drank in excess to the point where I don't remember a whole lot of the incident. I believe I remember pushing her,
okay.
But I do not remember.
And what happened when you pushed her?
I think she fell on the bed, but aside from that, I don't remember a whole lot of that night, so, which is part of the problem.
Okay.
Or it's the whole problem.
There was a child involved?
Our kids were home and they were sleeping.
And how many kids were they?
Two.
How old were they then?
Were they two
and a half? Jason and Colin was seven.
Seven.
Could you say that again so I could hear you?
My son was seven and my daughter was two and a half.
Where did this argument and pushing happen?
Up in our bedroom. I had gone up to bed and I say, you know, fell asleep, but it was more like a pass out. Yep. I was,
and where were the children?
Can I correct him? Because he's...
We'll get to you.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do one witness at a time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Where were the children?
Again, from my recollection, they were in their beds, but I, you know, that whole night was a blur. I still don't remember a whole good portion of it. And I wish I could give
are they on the Are the bedrooms all on the same floor?
Yes.
Now where, tell me how the gun becomes involved in this.
So yeah, I think at, you know, one point I knew the cops were called and I had a pistol in the nightstand, which was loaded.
Nightstand of where?
In my bedroom.
Okay. Not in the kid's bedroom.
Not the kid's bedroom. So I decided that, you know, at that point it would have been a good idea to bring it up into my attic and just toss it onto the floor. Because I didn't have a safe. I knew it was not good to have my firearms.
So you did that before the police arrived?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was just a feeble attempt to try and keep the children, the family, and the firearms distant from each other. But
well, it was also an attempt to hide it from the police.
I mean, it was right in the middle of the floor, and I had other firearms. You know, I had a hunting rifle and a zip case. I'll agree with you. It was probably a, you know, me trying to hide it from the police, but it's more of a scared reaction.
Was that gun loaded?
Yes.
And you just tossed it up into the attic?
Just on the floor. You know, when you walk up my attic stairs, you come. You can't stand up fully in there. So as you come up, I just threw it on the. So yes, it was loaded again. All decisions that were not great.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell me more. What happened when the police got there?
They got there, you know, they found out that the firearms were, you know, they went upstairs into the attic. I told them where they were. They retrieved the firearms. They found my hunting rifle and the zip case that it was in. And then, from my recollection, I was just put in handcuffs and arrested.
Okay. Now, you described the interaction with your wife that's pushing her. Did you punch her?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because I think that's the allegation. And what did your wife say? I mean, she must have made a complaint. She must have given a statement to the police.
And since, you know, we have talked about this, and I, you know, again, because I don't have recollection, she had told me that I did not punch her. So, according to her, I did not punch her.
Okay, and what were you charged with?
Disorderly conduct and risk of injury to minors.
Risk of injury is a felony, right?
Right.
All right, tell me about your drinking. Because obviously drinking is an issue, and it certainly was a real issue that night.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My experience is it's not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
You just start drinking that
yeah,
night.
Yeah, no, it's, unfortunately, it's a family heirloom that we have. And, you know, again, going through IOP, they had taught me a few things. The road can go if I continue to drink. I have curtailed my alcohol consumption. The big part is in excess. If I do start drinking and I get to a point, I don't have a stopping mechanism. And that night was, point in case. If I do drink now, it's at home. We did have.
Well, you were at home that night too.
Yeah, yeah. We had some friends over prior to, and they were. I have been calling them a bad influence, and we have since distanced ourselves from them. The drinking is still something I'm working on, but it is, again, is a lot less than it has in the past.
Okay, tell me about your drinking leading up to that. Has this been a lifelong issue with you?
It started pretty early on. Actually, when we met, I hadn't drank in 2 years. I wanted to quit smoking. So when I quit smoking, I had to quit drinking because every time I drank, I would want a cigarette. So I was actually sober for 2 years. And then it was our wedding night. I was like, oh, why don't you have a drink with me? I was like, okay.
Are you an alcoholic?
I don't want to put that title on it, but we can,
Well, I think you would know. If you have a history and pattern of drinking that's caused problems in your life,
yeah.
You've probably been to a doctor or somebody who said that to you.
They haven't. No. I haven't been diagnosed.
Have you been treated for alcohol issues prior to this? Have you ever had any run-ins with the law involving alcohol prior to this case?
No, sir.
Or after, for that matter?
No, sir.
No. How much up to that, when at that time, immediately before this incident, how much were you drinking at that?
Again, probably I think, because it wouldn't be every day, it might have been every other day or when we had friends over, so I don't know how to answer that properly.
When was the last time you had any alcohol to drink?
I had a couple of drinks last night, but
okay, a couple of drinks, and I'll say what I say to many people. So when someone says a couple of drinks or a couple of beers, it means anything but two.
Okay, so I had, we tend to lean towards the small, nip bottles.
So how many of those
did you have? Three last night.
Three. So it wasn't a couple. A few, maybe.
True. Yeah, technically.
When was the last time you were drunk?
Not excessively drunk. It's probably Tuesday.
What does that mean, excessively drunk?
To the point where I'm blacking out or forgetting things. If there is, a point where you could be under the influence and not completely. I haven't drank in excess to that point.
Now we're almost at the end of 2023. How many times have you been drunk in 2023? Is it once a month, once a week, twice a month?
Probably a couple times a week.
In my couple, it would probably apply there too. So it's probably more than that. Most people don't overestimate; they underestimate.
I apologize. I don't. I'm don't keep track of that. It's not in the forefront of my mind.
Are you currently in any treatment programs for alcohol?
No, sir.
The treatment program you did go into after court, was their advice to continue drinking?
No.
And getting drunk a couple times a week? What was their advice?
Well, just the nature of the business. They don't want to see anybody drink or use drugs, so they recommended not drinking.
What about driving and drinking?
I don't drive and drink.
You've never driven and drink? Driven drunk? That would be unusual based on your history, what you've told me, a lifelong issue. Even to this day, you're still drinking. I guess it's subjective, but a lot. All right. I'm sure someone else has questions.
Other questions by the board?
I do.
Doctor?
So you're an RN?
Correct.
What is it that you do drink in the, it's, you said maybe a few times a week, is it during the day, is it in the evening?
So with my work schedule, I work 12-hour shifts. If I do come home, most of the times I'm tired enough where I don't drink, but if I have a couple of days off, I might drink the next day that I'm not working, and it's not during the day. I'm usually more towards early after or later afternoon, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Why is it that you think you drink?
Unfortunately, it's an unhealthy crutch. Especially now with the way the medical field is going, it's a very high stress situation, and. It's a crutch that I use.
Do you feel that you have excess anxiety?
I have situational anxiety. The past, I'd say, few months, we've been low on staff in the hospital, so it's I've had situations that are very anxiety-riddling, and they have been tough to deal with. And management is trying to help us with that, but our staffing issues leaves us short, and we're not short of patients. So I'm constantly in a state of anxiety just because of work-related issues. Our financial issues are a little anxiety-inducing as well. The amount. She was nice enough to let me go through nursing school without having to work, so we're kind of catching up with our finances after that. We have credit cards that are outstanding. We're working on, one step at a time. My wife also had started her own business at the time of me going to nursing school, so we're kind of in that early era of learning how her business works and how her pay is, and it ebbs and flows with her
I think you mentioned that you had a strong family history of alcohol use problems.
Yes.
Typically, with a history like that, what we recommend is abstinence. Abstinence appears to be the only effective treatment intervention. And I think paired with workplace stress and other situational stressors that you had mentioned, my concern is that you haven't sought professional remedies for that. I mean, you're in the healthcare field yourself. My concern is that there still is significant episodic alcohol use paired with significant workplace and situational stressors. And there is not an active treatment program that you're involved in.
Okay.
Those are my concerns at this point in time.
I haven't sought professional help, but I am working myself cognitively to decrease my alcohol intake towards abstinence. And even with professional help, I don't think that stopping would happen, cold turkey.
Well,
so
I'm trying to reduce. It could. There are, in addition to professional assistance with coping strategies and treatment paradigms. There are pharmacotherapies now that blunt the craving for alcohol.
Yes, yes.
As you may
yeah,
know.
I forgot the name
and
of it,
so
yeah.
There are a means that you could seek out mm-hmm. that would potentially accelerate the trajectory towards abstinence, because we're talking about like a 3-year interval where you're continuing to drink episodically, frankly, to excess, three nips and then going to work and then coming home from work and drinking again, to me is a maladaptive pattern.
Attorney Sinetti.
Okay. Up to the point of this incident, what were your gun storage practices? Where did you keep the guns?
So the long guns, I had a hand-me-down 22 from a deceased uncle mm-hmm. that had just sat in the closet. I believe I had that one. I had shelving up on top. I believe that one was up on top.
Was it loaded?
Shelving. No.
Okay.
I'm not sure I knew how to load that one.
Okay.
And I did have a hunting rifle, which got it was in the zipper soft case side bag, which would just be stored in the back of the closet, leaning against the back.
Unloaded?
Unloaded. It should have been unloaded. I don't remember loading it.
Any other guns? We know there's at least one.
Just the pistol, which I would keep in my nightstand, my side of the bed, loaded, and there was no lock.
Round in the chamber?
Yes.
Okay. On the night of the incident that we're talking about here, was the gun produced at all during this argument? Was it taken out of the nightstand at all?
No, just because I knew that the police were coming and brought it out and tried to hide it upstairs, I guess.
So it wasn't part of the argument you were having with your wife? And you never threatened her with the gun? Okay. How do you store your guns now?
I don't have any.
You don't have any guns?
No, they were seized by the Seymour Police Department and court ordered I may not have those firearms back again.
Okay, because so I think it was mentioned in the documents we had that you now have a safe.
Yes, yes.
But no guns?
No. Okay. I bought the safe because I had thought I would, having the case nollied, I was under the assumption that I would be able to get my firearms back, so I tried to get the safe prior to getting them returned to me, but that is not how that played out.
Okay, and if you were to get your permit back, and if you were to get guns, how would you store them?
I have a very large, very heavy safe, which is in our closet. At this point, I wouldn't, the pistol, I would not have the magazine in. It'll be in the safe and locked in. One of the things is that I only have the combination of the safe. I haven't even told her the combination. Knowing that they are my responsibility, even though she is my wife, it's still my responsibility as a firearm.
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out. I assume you took a safety course at some point?
I don't want to admit this, but I actually went through the NRA pistol permit instructor class in like the early 2000s.
Okay, well you... And the Ten Commandments of Gun Safety, number 10 is what?
Yeah.
Which what's number 10?
I think it's locking your firearms.
Well, that's number one. But number 10, alcohol and gunpowder don't mix.
Yeah.
Right? And you violated that one, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
And you're only under Connecticut law, you're supposed to keep your gun secured at all times. And you didn't follow that either.
Yeah. I had, throughout my early years, I've had a pistol permit for quite some time, and I put buying the firearm first before buying the locking mechanism, which is, again, mm-hmm. I'm taking full responsibility for that. I don't have
And if the locking mechanism was not on the gun
no,
at the time?
Nothing, no.
And okay, so you made a couple of pretty big mistakes then.
Wholeheartedly my fault. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I think the context is important, too. I think you describe it as basically you blacked out.
Correct.
You blacked out drunk and you took a loaded gun with one in the chamber in the middle of a tumultuous incident involving domestic violence. And is your wife going to testify?
Yes.
I just wondered, was she in the room when you took the gun out of the nightstand?
remember.
Yeah, that could have certainly been misinterpreted, too.
Absolutely.
You made a couple statements early on when you were talking. You said you are trying to curtail any bad behaviors.
Yes, I don't want to repeat the past.
Yeah, but when someone to me says trying to curtail, that means you're not successful. You're trying to, but you're not quite there yet. So what bad behaviors are you talking about?
Well, I mean the alcohol use. I'm trying to decrease the amount of frequency.
And you said you're trying, it's kind of the same thing, trying to stay away from bad behaviors.
Yes.
So is the alcohol the only bad behavior?
That's the main thing, which using the alcohol can lead to other bad behaviors and poor decisions. So I mean, the main goal is to decrease or be abstinent with alcohol.
Have you carried that handgun outside of the home?
Yes.
Have you ever carried it after drinking any amount of alcohol?
No.
Not once?
No. It was actually one of the benefits to having the pistol was that I knew that it was on me. I knew it was illegal, so I would stay away from alcohol while I had it on me.
All right, thank you.
Other questions by the board? Just a quick question, in our record anyways, whether we have this or not, there is what seems like a narrative from the police department from the night of the 27th of January 2020, stating after being hit, wife went to hide the gun and a struggle ensued over the weapon, which he successfully retrieved and put in the unsecured attic. Do you have any recollection of a struggle?
Not in that order. I mean, I knew we had struggled physically beforehand. I don't believe she had it in her hand at all. Although, again, my recollection of that night is very poor, so.
So you don't have a recollection of a struggle ensuing over the weapon?
No.
It's kind of what I was getting at with she was present, he's drunk, he's taking the gun out of the nightstand, holding his loaded gun, and what's she going to think?
Right.
And,
I don't know if I can butt in or not. Just FYI, I have a copy, an unsigned copy of the original report.
Yeah.
I can't present that.
No.
His permission.
Yeah.
Okay. Should be erased.
If he had a copy and wanted to present it, that would be fine.
Okay.
Okay, so no other questions for the witness, correct? Do you have any other witnesses? Do you want to ask her questions?
Is anything.
Can you speak up?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's dry. I'm still frightened. Is there anything that I've said that I have misconstrued or anything that I've said that is not completely correct?
The only correction, and I think I started to say the correction, is the night that we had gotten into the argument, our daughter actually had fallen asleep in our bed. Our argument took place in her bedroom. The sound that my friend had heard, he actually... In a way, I take responsibility for this night because I should have just let him sleep. There were questions of infidelity. We had friends over that night. Friends left. He went upstairs and went to sleep, and I couldn't let it go, my suspicion. So he was laying in our daughter's bed, full-size bed, with one of the, she was 2.5 at the time, so we had one of those side rails on it. I'm like prodding him to get him up, and he swings to kind of like get off of me kind of deal, but I had fallen backwards. What the friend had heard that came to check on me, and I was upstairs, and she knocked because it was later at night, so I didn't hear the knock. She heard when I fell off the bed and the rail came off with me, it bent. So I was really, I should have just left it alone for the night. As far as him punching me, if I believe that's on their typed statement. I'm sure there's a handwritten statement that I had put in there. I do not recall at any point saying he punched me. I have no recollection of him punching me. He did push me. That is true because I fell off the bed, and that was what triggered my friend to call the police department because she thought we were like getting physical, but I'd fallen. As far as your question about the struggle and the stairs, again, that could have been I don't know if he went in to get the gun to move it, because at that point you can hear sirens, and at that point I know my friend is there. I had let her in the house. She had told me she called the cops, so we heard the sirens. It could have been, and again, I don't remember exactly. I remember him bringing the gun upstairs. I don't remember if I could have grabbed it to hand it to him to bring upstairs, or he grabbed it and I was in the room. But the biggest issue that night was our child was in our bed. There was a gun in the nightstand. She was sleeping. That was the place where the gun was normally stored, which when the police came in, immediately indicated there is a gun in the house. I believe I even told them, I believe it just he just brought it up to the attic. So we were very forthcoming about that. But because when they had asked, I said the gun is normally in the nightstand. They saw that there was a child in our bed. That made it even that much more of an issue. But as far as domestic issues go, what happened that night is not typical for us at all. We immediately, even in the time he was out of the house, we were doing couples therapy at the time. He did his IOP. He did some individual counseling. I've done individual counseling I'm still in individual counseling. I think it's very important whether you have an issue or not. He became, he was able to achieve his nursing license. Our stress as a family at that time, as he had pointed out, I had started a business. I left a career that had me traveling regularly. My kids were young. Our son has since been diagnosed autistic. At that time, he was 7. We were just finding out ADHD. We have behavior issues. He stopped working. I started a business. I took on all the financials of the family, and he was in nursing school. So it was kind of a perfect storm that just led to some really bad decisions. But he successfully got his nursing license. The first year of having his license, he was awarded, it's called the DAISY Award. It's for nursing. It's a pretty good award. He's also gotten an award at work. It's called the I Take It Personal, the ITIP Award, which is a referral from a coworker for being an outstanding coworker. I just feel like I want to highlight that one night is not a picture of who he is, and that one night doesn't depict the 12 years of marriage that we've had. It was a page and probably the worst chapter that we've had in 12 years, but it was also the eye-opener that I think we needed to be able to choose if we wanted to stay married or not. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm just rambling now. I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
Deputy Chief, do you have any questions of the appellant's wife? Does the board have any questions?
I do.
Doctor.
Do you drink with your husband?
I do drink occasionally, but typically I try not to. I work from home. I like to have drinks once in a while to relax. If you gave me a checklist that says what I classify as an alcoholic on paper, probably. But I don't feel that I am. I mean, I have a drink to relax once in a while.
Your husband mentioned that his most recent experience with drinking was 3 nips. On that evening, were you drinking with him as well?
Last night, I did have a drink. And I think I had 2. I watched the Taylor Swift.
The substance abuse treatment recommendations for women is to have no more than 1 drink per day, max, because of the way we metabolize alcohol differently from genetic males. And again, I'm going to reiterate that my concern is that there still is notable intermittent alcohol use. And although I commend you for your counseling, I commend you for finishing your degree and devoting yourself to healthcare and doing it in such a way that your institution would reward you for your meritorious service. The episodic drinking pattern, especially together and with your family history, worry me.
Other questions?
I'd just like to clarify something that I actually thought, but you just said. The gun was in the nightstand in your bedroom, and the seven-year-old was sleeping alone in the bedroom?
Our two-and-a-half-year-old had fallen asleep in our bed.
Oh, I thought it was the seven-year-old.
No, our seven-year-old was in his bedroom on the couch.
Okay, so unlikely the two-and-a-half-year-old is going to get up and find the gun.
No.
Although a two-and-a-half-year-old could certainly walk and go through
the
drawer.
Yeah, she could walk. She could walk at the time. Both children were sleeping. Neither child woke up during our dispute, during the dispute.
And you mentioned this was probably the worst thing that's happened. What's the second worst thing? Because you were not sure this was the worst. Was there something that could have been worse, something close to this?
Probably could have used better wording because this was absolutely the worst thing.
How about other alcohol-involved arguments and domestics?
No.
Not once? No. This was the only time?
We typically don't fight. There was the... if
Again, I got to stop you. We typically don't fight means sometimes we do.
Every married couple argues. I mean, you could call it a fight or an argument.
Well, a fight is different than an argument to
okay,
me. A fight is what you had where you pushed and shoved and you were drunk. And that's a
one
fight. And a gun involved.
With a gun in a nightstand. At no point was the gun used threateningly towards me. At no point was the gun used as like an intimidating factor or to scare.
I'm still not clear on when he took the gun out of the nightstand or did you?
Well, I said before, I don't recall exactly if the chain of events was me running up the stairs. Mm-hmm. Then grabbing it and handing it to him, or him grabbing it and then going up the stairs. And if you want to call confusion struggle, we can call it a struggle. But there was no indication at any point that I was going to be harmed by a firearm.
Well, at least not intentionally.
Not intentionally, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
I don't.
Okay, would you like to make a closing statement?
I see that the alcohol use is your concern, and I have been abstinent before, and if that's what it takes for me to receive my pistol permit back, that'll be my main goal, and that will be my, if you tell me to stop drinking today, it will stop today. I know you can't, that's just me saying it, you would probably want to see more effort than that. But I've been abstinent before, and I can do it again. It's not a big part of my life. I've actually gotten to a point where when I do drink, it's not even enjoyable anymore. So that's why I have been, on top of everything else, that's why I'm decreasing my alcohol consumption. And that's it. I don't need the alcohol. We would prefer to have a firearm in the home, not only for protection, but I also am a outdoor sportsman, so I would like to retain a firearm, but again, if it means alcohol, that will be my objective, is to get rid of the alcohol.
Thank you, sir. Deputy Chief, would you like to make a closing statement?
No, just the one question I'd like to ask him. Do we still have the weapons?
No, they were, I had to transfer, I had to transfer them to my stepfather. They're on consignment downtown at the moment, so my stepfather now owns the firearms that they have to be. I cannot own those two firearms again.
Any other question? Did I ever send you a copy of the report? Do you recall?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Closing statement, though?
No.
Okay. Brief factual, please.
This is a denial by the Seymour Police Department. The denial's for suitability. The basis of the denial is a single incident that occurred in January of 2020. It was a domestic violence case in which the Seymour Police Department were called to the appellant's residence for a domestic disturbance. The appellant had gotten in an argument with his wife. Based on testimony, the appellant was blacked out drunk, sleeping in one of the children's bedrooms. When the appellant's wife attempted to wake him, an argument ensued. She was pushed, fell to the floor. Police were en route. They actually heard the police coming. Somehow or another, the appellant had a loaded handgun in the nightstand in his room, in their bedroom, where their 2.5-year-old was sleeping. The appellant or the appellant's wife took that firearm and hid it in the attic before the police arrived. The appellant was arrested for multiple charges for domestic violence, risk of injury to a minor, and failure to properly store a firearm. It appears all those charges were nollied based on, we had to take programs to get those nollies. The appellant had taken an NRA instructor class, and that's the factual basis. As far as comments, you know, the appellant did say he was an instructor for NRA or took that class. We would think, A, you take the class. That's one thing. As an instructor, you have a little higher standard, at least a little better knowledge of firearms laws. In your statement to us, you mentioned that being unable to secure the handgun properly, and I'm going to focus on the handgun, was a financial matter. $30 safe, you would have been in compliance with the law. $30 lockable combination key lock safe, you would have been in compliance with the law. While it was a single incident, the factors that led to that single incident seem to still be in play. What comes down is alcohol. So that's concerning to me. And also by your own admission, you were blacked out drunk and then woken up. And either it was you or your wife, or somehow or another, you're handling that firearm, fully loaded, one in the chamber, with a 2.5-year-old in the bed, in that room, in a very charged situation. Whether we were charged, very upset, or hyped up between the argument and the police coming, it was just a very dangerous situation. And what's most concerning is that the factors that led to that are still in play. That's what's going to base my decision.
Other comments by the board? Attorney Sinetti?
Along similar lines, both of you have a lot of admirable characteristics and qualities, and I see you've been struggling with issues, a lot of it related to the alcoholism, and I would like to hold for you, but I also was a firearms instructor for many years, and for 12 years, I was chairman of the firearms industry safety program called Project Child Safe. And the rules in Project Child Safe are pretty simple and pretty common sense. It's that, you know, all guns need to be secured when not in use, locked away from children, careless adults, and impaired adults. Okay. Clearly that wasn't done here, and you throw the alcohol use in there, a violation of another gun safety rule. It's tough for me to say under the circumstances you were demonstrating responsible conduct as a gun owner. So that's going to weigh heavily in my decision. I know you're struggling with these issues, and we don't want to add to your burdens, but this is a serious matter for us, and I take it very seriously.
Other comments? Seeing none. Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to uphold the issuing authority. You seem like a very nice guy. Dedicated to your profession. Clearly you and your wife worked to remedy stressors that adversely impacted your marriage earlier on, and you're together. Congratulations for that. I'm not going to repeat the comments that I made earlier. I do feel that the use of alcohol remains a problem, and I commend your recognition today that abstinence is a necessity, and would urge you to seek professional help for dealing with that, both psychotherapeutically and potentially psychopharmacologically.
Attorney Sinetti.
For the same reasons that Dr. Conrad has stated, I have to vote for the issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Chief Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.